If you're enjoying this podcast, please leave us a review and tap the follow button so that you never miss an episode.
Hey, hey, welcome everybody. It's Monday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another episode of RFRX. It's the best night of the week. I'm your host, Kara, and I have with me another fantastic and amazing returning co-host and fearless psychic, sidekick, one of the two, Helen. How are you?
Hello, hello. Welcome everybody. I hope you're having an awesome Monday, best night of the week. I am so excited for tonight. I'm like, Gaga. So excited.
Yes. Helen insisted on co-hosting tonight, in fact, because of our extra special guest who I cannot wait to introduce here in just a minute. So, Helen, how are you? How's your week been? What's going on with you?
Things are good. My husband got a new car, so that's exciting. I'm kind of jealous because he has like the fancy new like screen and the Bluetooth connection and stuff like that. So I decided to get a bunch of Wonder Woman seat covers to jazz up my car so I don't feel as lame. And I cleaned my car and I washed it today. So just so I could feel a little more cooler, even though he got his new car. So that's what's going on in my life.
You are very cool and everyone on the interwebs knows it. So don't let anyone tell you different.
That's it. I need you all just to feed my ego. That's what I need.
That's what we're here for.
Exactly.
Yeah. What do you say, Helen? Are you ready to get going?
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. So it is, I am super excited to introduce our guests. Tonight we are joined by Secular Rarity. He's just a silly guy who enjoys engaging discussions about religion, science, and philosophy. He has been involved in many different atheist communities, both in front of and behind the camera. He has been a guest on numerous podcasts and is currently a regular host for the live shows produced by the Atheist Community of Austin. So, thank you, Secular Rarity, for being here. Go ahead with your presentation, and I'm just gonna like fangirl for a minute. So go ahead.
Thank you so much. I feel like that is a perfect intro. Did I write that? I don't think I wrote an intro or anything because that is just perfect, spot on. A description of me, like silly guy, talks about a lot of different things. Sometimes it's philosophy, sometimes it's religion, sometimes it's flat earth or ghosts. You know, you just kind of take whatever comes to you. I don't have much of a presentation. I would absolutely love as many questions and as many chances as I can to interact with all the wonderful people here. When I was first Steve reached out to me and then Cara said, hey, you know, love to have you on. I was just so thrilled about that because this is one of the organizations that I can confidently put my support behind in literally any situation. There's never been a moment in my life where I have been somewhere where I thought maybe I shouldn't mention recovering from religion right now. So this is absolutely wonderful group of people here. So I am just deeply, deeply excited to be here with you all. And I love to answer questions. I see Jeff. I'm so sorry. I see somebody asked about is Secular Rarity my Christian name? It is not. I don't know if I exactly have a Christian name, but my name is Elliot. I'm public on that. So anybody can address me as whatever they feel comfortable with. But yeah, this was, you know, the idea for this, me being on here and kind of what would I talk about? So I'm not a PhD in anything. I'm not a expert in anything. I don't have much, knowledge, training or any of that stuff. I'm just a regular guy. I'm just an average person, that enjoys looking into complicated and difficult, nuanced topics. With that being said, over the last couple of years, I have had the wonderful, wonderful privilege of doing all kinds of different things, whether it's, you know, helping out various shows behind the scenes, or getting to take the calls myself and kind of host the show. And that's been on a lot of different things. Some of the biggest for sure are wonderful things that the atheist community of Austin does, like the Atheist Experience, Talk Heathen. But I also am on the nonprofits, which is really, it's a different focus because it's not about just taking calls and kind of having a challenging conversation with another person. It's more about reading today's news and kind of seeing what a humanist would kind of feel about that, and how, as myself, somebody that's skeptical and is not particularly excited about the rampant Christian nationalism that's sweeping across the nation, but also more importantly, just somebody that really, really values a conversation style with others that is not combative and not angry, right? I think for a lot of us that have been on the non-religious side, we get labeled as angry, we get labeled as pissed off. And in fairness, like, let's be real. There are some things to be pissed off about, right? Like, there are some good reasons that we would be mad about some things. But there's always the question of how do you go about communicating with others? And what is the most effective method to reach the outcome that you're hoping for? And then that's not easy for sure. And you're probably always going to walk away from conversations where you say, I could have done something better, or, oh gosh, I shouldn't have done that. But there are things you can practice. And by putting those into practice more and more, you can find that the conversations that you have that are very challenging are just not, they just don't have to be so vitriolic, you know? One of the first things that I ever did in the online kind of atheist philosophy, you know, discussion type space, there's a friend of mine, and he is a friend. We have talked to each other for years now. We have just, you know, hit each other up and said, hey, what are you doing? Let's go grab a beer. Let's get some tacos, whatever. But my buddy Pedro puts on a organization in my city of Nashville. And we talk about religion of all stripes. We talk about social issues of the day. And sometimes it's him as a Christian. Sometimes it's some of his friends as Christians. And I have found that when I leave those conversations, although there may be some points that I feel like I didn't really address, right? Somebody mentions about homosexuality and the Old Testament, you know? And I think for a lot of us that have gone around that kind of archaeological, ancient Near East history and all that stuff. Again, I'm no expert. I just listen to what the experts tell me. And when you hear that, and you hear some super fundamentalist, hardcore Bible thumping, you know, just spit flying out of their mouth, angry, and they're talking about, well, it's a sin and blah blah blah. You know, sometimes one of the first things you want to do, especially if you know, you want to say like, well, okay, look, but see, the issue is that you're translating a word incorrectly, and the actual translation of that may be a little bit more nuanced and might not actually be saying the thing that you're saying. It definitely isn't saying it as like pissy as you are. But at the same time, that may not be the most effective thing in this moment, right? If at the end of the day, what I want is to see change in my world around me, if what I see when I wake up in Tennessee is a whole bunch of people that have absolutely no problem with standing out in broad daylight and saying with full breath how much they hate certain people for no other reason than the simple fact that they are who they are. Whether that is the fact that they're trans, whether that is the fact that they're a non-believer, whether it's the color of their skin, or the amount of money in their bank account, it it is so frustrating to me to see that. And I have found that one of the best things that I can do is truly model the behavior that I want to see from others. And I talked about this a while ago with some people on a show, I believe. And they were asking about what is the best thing to do? How do we handle these difficult conversations? And one of the things I mentioned, and I really do think it's important for us to internalize this, is that, you know, if we want to be better, y'all, we have to be better. And that's a bummer, you know, because that means a lot of work and it means like effort and you got to try harder. And it's like, well, this person just said this and that's fucking infuriating. Well, of course it is. Yes, they are attempting to make you angry. And with that being said, it doesn't mean that you can't get angry. That's one of the things about toxic masculinity that has been something that I've had, you know, struggles with over my entire life. I'm in the South. You know, I'm a younger guy, but at the same time, the 90s and the early 2000s weren't exactly anywhere close to where we are today. And we're nowhere close where we need to be. You know, emotions are okay to have, right? But again, there's the question of what do we do with them and how do we respond to them? One of the coolest ever talks I've ever heard in my life was the director of the conductor of the Philharmonic Symphony in London for many, many years, Benjamin Zander. And at one point in his talk, one of the things that he starts talking about is how he felt as if his players were stagnant. And he had been noticing this regularly. He didn't feel as if they were, you know, being able to be challenged more, and they weren't, you know, just really punching those accents. And it didn't flow, and it didn't have the, you know, that oomph that he was going for. And he said the moment that he started thinking more about himself in that instance, when he was feeling that for a couple of months, he said that was when everything changed, because what he realized was that he doesn't make a single sound for the music that will be heard tonight by the audience, right? Not a single person is going to hear him make any noise whatsoever. And yet he's deeply, deeply vital to the orchestra as a whole, right? If the conductor comes out there and they're stiff and they're angry, they just kind of, well, the song's gonna sound different to a lot of people. And one of the reasons that's gonna be the case is because of how his players are playing in that moment. And so the question that I go back to time and time and time again, he asked, who am I being in this moment that I'm not getting a better sound from my orchestra? Who am I being in this moment that I'm not getting a better response from this caller? Who am I being in this moment that this particular situation is so, so angry and just so on edge? And what can we do with that? Again, it is deeply, deeply difficult, y'all. Not even going to come close to pretending as if you can just hear 30 minutes of you know, some idiot jaw-jacking and you go, oh yeah, of course, I got it. And then you figured it out and it's, you know, you move on with your life. But there are some steps. There are some things out there that have been laid out. And specifically, like with the concept of compassionate communication or nonviolent communication, a lot of that is stuff that we do already, y'all. And it's really just a matter of trying to put more active focus on it. So for instance, I pulled up this little I got this little thing over here, and I'll just read it off to you because it just did a really, really good job of simplifying. But so the first element is just observation, right? When you name a behavior, simple. This is something we do all the time, right? Every single one of us goes, oh, that guy cut me off in traffic. What a jerk. You know, or, oh, I can't believe she just said that. She must hate me or something, you know, right? So observations, when you name a behavior, okay? We do that all the time. And these are just the things that affect our general well-being and health. The next thing, of course, feelings. How do we feel when we see that thing, right? When we have that observation, how does that make us feel? Again, just simple, I feel, name the feeling. Done, easy. Paying attention to those two things in and of themselves, y'all, is way easier than the last two in my thoughts. But they are vital. They are vital that we come to those, and we do our best to not try to push things in a direction, right? Like, this person cut me off in traffic. Yeah, they did. But if the next thought that I'm having is, oh, they must be a horrible person, and they probably hate, I don't know, children, and they probably do bad things to kittens. I don't know, right? Like, it's that's too much, right? We didn't observe any of that. The observation is that this person did something to me on my way home, and then it makes me feel bad. It makes me feel angry, right? The next two, though, again, I think are a little bit harder, but the needs aspect. So because I want, right? And that's tough for us to articulate a lot of times when we have those needs, when we do really want something. I can tell you, a couple of weeks ago, I had one of those days where I just woke up feeling like crap, you know? And it wasn't anything. It wasn't like my stomach didn't hurt. Like, I didn't have a headache or anything. I just felt bad. Like, my emotion level was just really low, and nothing really made me happy, and, you know, just pissy. And that's okay, because a lot of us feel like that every so often. What's really hard in that moment, though, is to reach out to a friend and just say, hey, like, I want to feel better. You know, I don't want to feel like this anymore. Or, hey, I'm having a hard time and I just want to chat, you know, if you got 5 minutes. But doing that is a really, really important step. And not just doing it for ourselves, doing it for others. Because there are a lot of times where, again, just as it's difficult for us to articulate those needs to ourselves and others, like, we have to recognize how difficult it is to articulate that when other people are coming towards us, right? If it's difficult for us to reach out when we're in those spaces and we're in those moments, like, It's probably difficult for everybody else too, right? Like, I don't think there's anything like supernatural or magic or higher level than just all the stuff that's around us right here, y'all. And when I say that, the reason I say that is because it means that if I'm standing there talking with another person and they're upset, that's a valid emotion. That's valid that they feel like that, because it's valid that I feel like that. And if something happens to somebody, right, this observation, and they get these upset feelings, and they start, you know, yelling and going off on stuff, sometimes they're expressing needs, right? Sometimes they're articulating something that they're looking for. They want restitution, you know, or they just want somebody to take out the damn trash once in a while, you know, but they don't necessarily say it outright like that. And that can be hard to suss out, for sure. And it can also be hard to just listen to those. With that being said, again, I think if you start with the first two and you work on that with yourself, it's so much easier to get to these last. And the final one is just requests. And again, we've already talked about that a little bit. Just, I would really appreciate if this, it would mean the world to me if X. And all of these things work into each other, because as you start making more of those requests, as you start listening to more of those requests, right, becomes easier to make those observations, becomes easier to respond to the feelings that we have, becomes easier to understand the needs and so forth. But again, it isn't a perfect thing. You know, I can tell you again, some of my biggest experiences is just call-in shows, and it's very difficult to have a cordial conversation with somebody who says that they don't believe that trans people are people. That's incredibly difficult. And I, in no way, shape, or form, think the obligation should be on every single one of us to get into those conversations, right? Because it isn't a conversation for everybody. If you want to have those conversations, then the first question you need to ask yourself is what do I want from these conversations? Because for me, what I want is I want to live in a state that is not telling half of the population that they are less than. That's what I want. I want to live in a city where I don't have to tell people who are not from my city, hey, just so you know, you might want to think about where you go in the city, because there are some places that are safer and there are some places that are not. And again, it's simply because of who you are as a person. I don't think that we should have to, anybody worldwide, y'all, I don't think we should have to live in a place where I can't say to somebody, hey, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't think Shiva's that big of a deal. Like, you know, stuff like that. If that's your goal, this is a valuable way to speak to people, because I feel like the results that we get are oftentimes, at the very least, even if the person doesn't instantly change their mind and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was such a jackass. Who cares if a man and a man want to make out? They're just people. It doesn't affect me. Do your thing. It's very rare that is going to happen in like the conversation. But what you can do is you can show to people a real-time example right in front of their faces that, hey, look, like, I'm just normal. Like, I'm just a person. I'm not some horrible human being that's going out there and cheating on people and fucking multiple people without consent and going on all kinds of fucking tirades and whatever. Now, granted, I mean, yeah, me and four people want to hang out and have some fun. Hell yeah, I'm all for it. But I'm just a person that's polyamorous. That's it. That's it. It's not anything. It's not anything fucking crazy or mind blowing or anything. There are all types of different people in this world, and I want to be somebody that helps us get to a place where we can have more conversations with each other. And we can tone down the hatred that is expressed. And more importantly, the outright physical violence. Like, that is so, so difficult to see ramping up. It is something that, like polio, I really, really thought we had made some progress on. Right? Like, we had moved the ball a lot further, I had hoped. But I think one reason why we don't have as much progress in some areas is because it takes difficult conversations. You know, a lot of people may have heard of who Daryl Davis is. If not, that's okay. I have another name for you that you may or may not have heard as well. But Mariam Nemazi. Daryl Davis is, I believe they did, what was it, Klansman? was the movie about his life, came out not too long ago. He is a Black man in the United States who actively spent years walking up to KKK rallies and hung out and chitter chatted. And suddenly, next thing you know, you're literally having groups that are 100 people turning in their robes and going to get tattoos removed and completely changing their life around. And one of the reasons was because he was able to sit there and talk with him and have these challenging conversations. And he spoke in a compassionate way. Doesn't mean that he wasn't angry. Doesn't mean that he didn't feel just completely and utterly sad and hopeless some days. Having sat there and been told repeatedly that he is not worthy of any of the grace and generosity that he was giving these people. And Maryam Namazi, the same. She is an ex-Muslim. I believe she's the founder of Ex-Muslims of North America. But she went around and had similar conversations. And you're literally witnessing as, you know, two feet apart from each other, you know, sitting on the same bench, you know, there's one person who is smiling and asking questions and trying to understand, as the other person is literally saying, if these cameras weren't here, I would murder you. Because that's how much hatred they had in their hearts. That's how much vitriol was inside of them. Again, I don't believe that every single person should wake up and say to themselves, I have to take on the most challenging conversations today. Absolutely not. And I can definitely tell you in my just general personal life, I'm not as likely to be sitting at the bar trying to like hardcore debunk flat earth or anything, y'all. But you know, sometimes you get enough beers in me and I'll get there. But I mean, if you want to have a challenging conversation where it is very obvious that there is hatred, that there is bigotry, and that the individual is right on the knife's edge for that physical violence. If you want to have that conversation and you want to tone down that conversation, this type of method has been really, really helpful for me. And I think we are kind of turning a corner in the online atheist sphere, space, skeptic-y, whatever label. There are more and more people these days who are taking a Socratic approach, right? Street Epistemology International, another fantastic organization I'm just a big fan of. And not everybody that engages in that style of questioning is always as calm or as compassionate or you know just cool as a cucumber like Magna Bosco is. That guy's a legend, right? But there's a lot that can be learned, even if it's not about you learning the street epistemology method, right? Even if it's just sitting there and witnessing as somebody could say something that is so profoundly and bafflingly stupid. And another person just stands there, listens to it, and says, oh, okay, and how did you come to that? There's something about seeing that other people have had that experience, right? That's really helpful, right? I think Carr or Helen was talking about this earlier. Like, there is something really valuable about knowing that others go through something like this. And it's also really, really cool when you can see somebody who, you can see the good results that they've had going through it. I remember when I was young, my mother was much, much heavier than she was, than she is now. She had developed a whole smattering of different health problems that were really weighing on her. And she finally decided that she was going to lose weight. But one of the reasons that she really did that was because we went to go see my grandparents that were alive at the time, and, you know, uncles and aunts and cousins, all that stuff. And my uncle, who had always been, out of all the kids on that side of the family, had always been the overweight one, he shows up, and my mom is just like, "Terry? Holy shit! What did you do?" Because he had lost so much weight, and you know, they were talking for a little bit, and he's like, "You know, look, I feel so much better. You know, this and that. And the thing that stuck with me, and the thing that stuck with my mother, was that she joked with him, and she said, "But seriously, come on, you found some like black market pills, right? Like just you took like five of them, and then the weight just dropped off." And he, you know, laughing about, you know, a lot of things that are not in any way, shape, or form medical. So don't do them. Go to a doctor if you want to go through this. But he finally, after they were done laughing about it, he said, "No, seriously, I just woke up every single day, and I just did 5 minutes, you know. I just woke up every single day, and I just put some effort into it. And it took years." And we hadn't, you know, we hadn't been up there as a family for probably 5 or 6 years. And it basically took them the whole time. And that can be really, really difficult when we start down that journey of trying to continue the daily grind, when in reality, it doesn't feel like we're making that progress, you know. But again, the reason that my uncle dropped that weight, the reason that my mother did, the reason that I have been able to have challenging conversations and continue to make progress is because I worked at it. It took a long time. And when you're out there by yourself, completely blind in darkness and woods and whatnot, that's a bummer. The good news is there are fantastic places like this that talk about this type of stuff regularly. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here because everybody here obviously knows. But there, it's good to know that there are other places out there as well that have talked about really important things. And again, this isn't, I didn't come up with these four little tenets, these little elements. It's not my thing at all. I just heard some good people talking about stuff. And I said, I think that's something that I'd like to try, because I think that gets us to a place that I want to see in the world around me. So I hope at least some of that was worthwhile. I know there was probably a little bit of rambling, but again, that is because I do just love interacting. So for sure, anybody at all that has anything that they want to question or whatever, I'm happy to be here. So
that was great. Yes, thank you for sharing that. I just love just listening to you talk. It's just so calming, relaxing.
Will you come and whisper sweet nothings to me at night so I can fall asleep?
I'll start doing what is like Cameo or something, or
are you doing ASMR?
ASMR, yeah, that's awesome.
I think you're onto something there. No, I love it. I love what you're putting down here, given that, you know, we get into so many of these hostile conversations. You know, we're so polarized lately. I'm guilty of it too. You know, just mm-hmm. getting into these arguments with people and almost ruining the relationship because, you know, maybe I didn't go through those four steps with observe, feel, needs, requests. I love that. I feel like we need so much more of that. And having said that, we have already had a ton of questions come in, so I want to run some of those by you. But my first question for you is, how did you get to be this Zen? Did you go through like an angry period and then correct? Is this just how you've always been?
Yeah. So I again, have been so lucky in one sense, to have a lot of different disparate experiences in life, where I've been in situations that have been not as great, for sure, in terms of, you know, safety for myself or others, as well as just very challenging and you know, different types of interactions in my daily life that have given me a broader understanding. And kind of, I saw how I was able to navigate those situations in the past, and the ones that didn't turn out as well seemed to have a theme, and the ones that did turn out better also seemed to have a theme. And I tried to go with the better options. I also have struggled with anger issues my whole life. I have had many outbursts when I was younger, physically violent, as well as just verbally and emotionally abusive. So that was something that has literally taken me about 15 years to really have a good control over. And one of the biggest things for me was recognizing the pattern of thoughts that I have when I start to go down that route. And the problem I noticed was that I would start to get really obsessive in a very, very short loop, and it would just spiral and spiral and spiral until, you know, I'm just literally ripping a door off its hinges. I mean, that's a real experience that, and when you do have those moments in life, and you are cognizant enough to, you know, see the damage afterwards and say, look, this is not something that I'm a fan of. I don't want this in my life. I don't want this for the people that I care about. This is a problem. You start to give a shit more. I mean, honestly, that's one thing. And it's taken a lot of work. It has been, again, a decade and a half of me really actively trying to say, you know, who am I being? What are the thoughts that I'm having? What, you know, why am I being so obsessive? Why am I angry? You know, how do I move past this? Blah, 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 blah. All of that stuff. So for anybody out there that is wondering a time frame on all of this nice stuff that I was talking about, it could be 15 years. I'm just saying, it could be 15 years. So you might have a while ahead. But yeah, that definitely has made it a lot easier. So
this is a related question that just came up in the chat about how, like, did you notice there was a pattern with your angry thoughts that would, like, you know, trigger them?
Yeah. So, yeah. So this is, again, I mentioned it kind of briefly. So toxic masculinity for sure is something that I have to work with on a regular basis as well, to try and step away from that understanding of myself and others. When I was young, cause I'm 28 now. So when I was young in the early 2000s, everything that you didn't like, everybody called it gay. It was a derogatory connotation. And it was something that I didn't even recognize for a really, really long time. And then I got to the place where I recognized when I was talking about some TV show that I didn't like, and my buddy would say, oh, that's gay. And I go, oh yeah, that's gay. Wait a second. The TV show sucks. Am I saying gay people suck? Is that? And that was the connotation that was used around that time. And for me, it was difficult to finally work that out. When I was able to work that out, the issue was, I wasn't able to work out the problem when somebody called me gay. And I would start spiraling down this, well, if you think I'm gay, you must say I saw you. And it would, and so when it got to the place that I recognized, like, I mean, if you think I'm gay, no big deal. I'm not. But even if I was, like, no big deal, it's not a problem for me. Like, this is a normal thing, and you're attempting to say that there's something wrong with me because of that, but I don't see it that way. I see this as just a normal facet of being a human. And the pattern that I realized with that was that I started to hyper-focus more and more. It started more broad, and then it would just, over the next few minutes, would just circle in, and it would circle in on something that was just anger, really. And that was the biggest thing, is that the thoughts weren't, no longer were they like, well, you know, fuck you too. You know, you're not, you know, well, I mean, I'm not, well, you know, well, you know what? Fuck you. I hate you. I'm going to beat you. When it stopped being anything but the anger, though, that was the pattern that was really recognizable. Because that was the thoughts I had right before I would black out. When it was just focused in the most narrowest of contexts, and that narrow context really was so disassociated now with what the person said, was really just focused on how can I release anger as much as possible? Whatever I have to say, whatever I have to do, I am just gonna freaking do it. And I would say things that had no bearing at all. Like I would say something about the person's car or something, like anything to just really get under their skin. It wasn't about understanding. It wasn't about trying to defend myself or anything. It was just anger. It was easiest for me to work with those moments. And there were a couple of times years ago where, excuse me, I literally red-faced, punching a hole in the wall, yelling at the top of my lungs, and would just instantly deflate. And the reason was because I had started really trying to focus in on that. And when I saw myself doing that, where it was just this deeply obsessive over and over and over anger and nothing else, it was like, oh shit, there it is. And in a couple of those moments, it was absolutely flip of the switch, you know? It then from there was, how do I pay attention to that initial thought pattern, that initial hurt that makes me go down that path of anger? When I start to see my responses in my head narrowing in on something, now what I try to do is just take a step back from that, just slow down the thinking. And again, like, that's not easy. I don't, it took me 15 years to get here, and I am nowhere close to where I'd like to be. So I hope that answered. I kind of ramble. I'm so sorry.
No, this,
you're allowed to ramble. Great. It's fine.
we called you. You get to ramble.
That's
we're
right.
Not going to hang up on you. No, but I love that. And we have been getting tons of questions in. And I do want to clarify, I so love that you're talking about this process that you've gone through of kind of trying to manage your emotions and have, you know, conversations that you want to be more productive rather than destructive. And believe me, that is something I am still working on too. it's
all working
thing.
On it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is
over
a thing.
And over again.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's added frustration when you're standing there and it's like, I'm trying to be genuinely good person, and this person is just hate filled. They're just slinging every single slur and vitriol they possibly can at me. But again, if we want to be better, the onus is on us, y'all. But yeah. you don't have to take part in the conversation. You have the right to always say no, thank you, and walk away. Right.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned that. And I want to follow up on that with a couple of questions. One, are there certain topics where you will walk away, or certain points where you're going to draw a line? And then the second part to this question is one that several people have been asking in the chat. When it comes to things like where it's just, you know, violent, we're talking about people who have been abused, people who, you know, are quote unquote righteously angry about something. Are there times where really anger is the appropriate response?
And yeah, absolutely. In reverse order, if I can. So again, it's not about not being angry, right? Because we shouldn't attempt to arbitrarily limit the emotions that we have as humans. They are natural, y'all. And it's not fun to feel like bummed out about stuff all day. Like, I get that. It's not super fun to feel sad. But when my grandmother died last year, it was the first time I had ever really allowed myself to just let my emotions hit me for a little bit. Because I didn't want to hold back. I just sat there and I just cried for 30 minutes. And when my uncle, you know, who's very much more of that toxic masculinity side of stuff, you know, he's kind of standing there looking at me and he's like, hey, you doing okay, man? Mind you, he had literally 30 minutes ago just told me that his mother had died. So no, I'm not fucking okay, man. I'm sad. And I just straight up told him that. You know, in the past, okay, maybe I would have cried and I would have said, no, I'm fine. Don't worry about it, man. Just shut the door, get out of here. But I straight up was just like, yeah, man, I'm okay. I'm just really sad right now. And I'm probably just going to sit here and cry for a little bit more. So I say all that to say, the goal is not to not feel anger. Does that make sense? The goal is to utilize it in a manner that is productive and actually gets us closer to the goal that we're hoping for. And so, for instance, there are a lot of things that I'm very angry about in a lot of different ways. And am I going to see change by calling other people terrible names? Probably not. Am I going to highlight a horrible, atrocious problem that exists in this world by shouting other people down and not listening to them when they have genuine criticism coming from a place of sincerity? Probably not. And so the anger should be there if you're angry. But it doesn't have to be laser point focused on a person, right? Sometimes it just can be laser point focused on the issue. Like, for instance, I think this is just something that I started following many years ago. It's just a personal thing. I am a bit of a news junkie, but also I have a personal connection. Ooh, it is also raining very loudly outside. I don't know if anybody hears that, but if I do cut out for a second, that would be why.
I did hear that. That okay. Sounds very ominous. I mean, yeah. I hope you're not going to be struck by lightning.
It was a lot closer than I recognized.
It's the snake underneath the earth that wants to eat him because he's talking too much now.
That's pretty fair.
It's the snake.
But, the coup that took place in the country of Myanmar a few years ago has had some really horrible consequences, especially for a minority group called the Rohingya. This is something that, again, just personally, I have been following for a very long time now. I think it is absolutely disgusting and infuriating that we have not done something about this. I am pissed off beyond belief that right now there is 300,000 people sitting in camps in a country that is actively telling them, we don't fucking want you. But if they try to go back to their country, they will be slaughtered. I'm angry. But do I get people to pay attention by yelling at them? Probably not. And yelling about it? Maybe. But if you're going to focus on the angry aspect, and when is it okay to be angry and not okay? Well, again, honestly, it's always okay. It's always okay, y'all, because emotions are valid. It's just a matter of what do we do with them? And when it comes to the first question that you had asked about, you know, are there topics or are there times and places where I do disengage? Absolutely. It's not a hard and fast rule for me personally. I understand that it is for others. And again, that there's no you should this or you shouldn't that in terms of what you want to engage in. For me, when I feel myself getting very angry and unable to slow down those thoughts in my head and unable to widen that focus, that's when I generally say to people like, hey, I really do have to go for now. And that's not even like challenging conversations about whether or not there's some snake circling the globe that's going to all atheists are going to be. That's not even about that stuff. Like sometimes it's just about like a partner, right? Sometimes it's a family member or a coworker or a longtime friend. When I recognize that I'm really unable to have that more compassionate communication with them, that's definitely a place that I step back from. But again, that took me years to get to a spot where I was able to even really recognize that. There are some spaces and topics, like I have been at a handful of different, you know, in-person panel discussions or a handful of different bars or restaurants or outdoor sporting events, musical concerts, all that shit, where, yeah, it's, I recognize that this is not going to be super productive. And I could be putting myself at risk of physical harm if I continue to go down this route. So in those instances, for sure, I always believe the right thing to do is to be cognizant as best you can of that on a personal level and know what you're willing to risk. There have been many, many people who have put their lives on the line for a lot of the things that have recently been stripped from us in the United States specifically. A lot of the rights that again, people have died for, and a lot of them knew the risk and they took that risk. And I don't think we should ever forget that. And we should never minimize that sacrifice, right? That being said, I don't think it's right for me to tell everybody that you have to put your blood on the line. And I think we should all recognize that. And if you say to yourself, this is not something that my mental or emotional health can deal with, or if I continue down this route, my financial security is at risk. I will be out on the street. I will not be eating. I will not be surviving. If any of those things are at risk, please, 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 like disengage, like think very, very hard about that. It doesn't mean that there aren't fantastic communities out there that are willing to stretch out their arms and help you as much as they can. But sometimes that takes a while and it isn't as holistic with a W, like W-H-O-L, whole as like complete, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the holistic,
I love that.
Yeah. Holistic medicine and not my thing, but yeah, all encompassing, I guess. But yeah, there are definitely those times. For me, the biggest ones are always, am I currently in a place where I am at risk of being physically harmed or getting others physically harmed? So for sure.
Yeah, I really appreciate that you have addressed that. It's been really interesting to see in the chat. We are having a lot of response to what you're talking about. I think this is really hitting home for a lot of people kind of across the spectrum here. We've got people who are saying things like, man, what is the deal? Why do people always think atheists are so angry, all the way across the spectrum to, hey, there are some things that we should be more angry about. Why are we not more angry? So this is really striking a chord with people. And I'm really glad that we're here to have these like nuanced conversations. And I so appreciate your perspective. And I want to ask you some more questions. People are just peppering us with questions, and that is what we are here for. So thank you. Keep it coming. Yeah, Helen, go ahead.
I had, because like, I'm wondering, because a lot of this conversation is around anger. I don't think people have really been taught how to deal with your anger, because there's a lot of like, well, we should be angry about this, and this is the thing we should be. And like, yes, if someone's being a fucking bigot or defending like, you know, people that abuse other people, I don't really want to have a really nice, decent conversation. Let's have an opinion about different ideas. I'm like, no, mofo, you're a bigot. This is not something we're going to have a nuanced conversation about unless you want to really listen to what I'm saying. But when we're angry, when we're really angry, it can be a hard thing to do to adjust to our own anger and then how other people respond to it. Also, what do we do with our anger? How do we channel it? And when is it appropriate to work with our anger, and when is it appropriate to not? And I think it's just because we're not really taught on how to deal with it. Like, men are taught that the only acceptable emotions are lust and anger. Yeah. And women are taught to repress, you know, where, you know, there's these messages that it's like, if you're angry, that's not okay. And then we're walking around going like, I don't know what the fuck we're supposed to do with it. Yeah. You know, and I think that's a matter of, you know, of learning those skills, and that takes a lot for people to learn, you know, and I don't think there is an easy answer on what is healthy and what's not unhealthy, you know?
Yeah, for sure. There is I can only speak to the United States and more so the Southeast for sure. There is a glaring lack of give a shit when it comes to mental and emotional health. When you as a young boy are raised, is again, especially in the area I am, especially in the time and so forth, we were better in the 2000s for sure, y'all, but you know, still, come on. But Tennessee is like 40 years behind most of the other country on stuff anyway, so it's like, y'all were in the 2000s, we were like in the 1960s, but whatever. The point is that when you as a young boy in this area are basically taught that, you know, it's okay to be expressing this anger, whereas for the young girls it is not, it is interesting that, yeah, even in those instances, they don't really tell you about what the way is to do that. They just kind of like expect you to internalize it. And so, you know, if it just so happens that the way that Elliot expressed his anger today was by punching a wall, then that just so happens. He's a man. Let him express the feeling that he has. One of the biggest things that helps me in everyday life and understanding difficult, nuanced ideas and so forth is relating it to other things that I have a better understanding of. So being able to see the similarities between two totally different like concepts or experiences or whatever. When I first started attempting to cook food, right? You know, 13-year-old was like, you know, I'd watched mommy and daddy for a while. I'm gonna cook some food myself. I thought you basically like always used like the highest setting on like the stove or the grill or whatever it was. I thought you just like, wait, just get it hot. Like that's the point, right? So just heat it as fast as you can. No. There's a lot of things that only really, really are good when you keep that heat low. And it's a matter of just knowing what foods are going to taste better with that intense heat, you know, that shock of it, or you know, what foods are going to taste better when it comes to that low kind of, you know, 150 degree heat for like 16 fucking hours. Yeah, it takes a long time. Yes, it does. It's a lot of work, y'all. You got to stoke fires and you got to turn things and you got to check this and that. And absolutely add an extra cup of water here. Yeah. It's a lot of freaking work. And I'm not telling everybody to go through the process of taking 14 hours to cook every meal. You know, I don't do that. But what I try to do is I try to evaluate the situation as best I can. And sometimes one of the right ways to cook is to turn that fucking heat up as much as you can right at the beginning, right? And then let it go and drop it down and keep that low, steady, focused kind of heat, right? Sometimes it's the exact opposite. And there are so many different calls where that's the case. It'll start out and I'll see the topic and I'll say, well, it looks like you're going to be saying something dumb today about how the Bible, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then the person says something and then it's like, oh yeah, you really think that, blah. Okay, now how did you come to that? You know, and sometimes it's the exact opposite. You start out really chill. You're like, oh, okay, archaeological, whatever. Okay, yeah. And then they slip in this last little thing at the end. You go, whoa, wait a second. You just want to demean all of these people like that? You just want to come out here in the last 5 seconds and just shit on everything? So again, that recognition of knowing what your goal is and what the best way of achieving that is so important. Because I absolutely, like, guys, feel angry. There are many reasons to be angry. I'm very angry about a lot of different things. It's very frustrating to see, again, just one of the biggest things for me that upsets me is the physical violence that we see. And when we're just taking people's lives in the streets worldwide, for just the fact that they're different, I fucking hate that. And it does make me angry. But I can't just yell at every single person that's a Christian, right? Because honestly, I don't have the spoons for it. I just don't. Like, I love having the tough conversations, but I don't have the energy to take on everybody. And especially when we're on the side of attempting to have as much evidence as we can for the conclusions that we have, attempting to be inclusive and diverse and push us down the path of human rights for all of us, right? Living in a world where we can all be comfortable to be who we are. We're going to have to make sure that we recognize when there are people on our team that maybe are not using anger in the way that we want them to, or maybe they're too angry, right? Maybe they're a little bit too angry sometimes. Maybe they're not angry enough. Maybe it seems like they bring this person on and they sat there for an hour and basically, you know, freaking neo-Nazis coming on and the guy's basically blowing him on camera. And it's like, you fucking kidding me, man? Call him a freaking neo-Nazi jack off. But at the same time, again, it's very obvious that this person is is attempting to highlight bad ideas and attempting to you know, that old Christianese of plant the seed, right? I mean, it absolutely, y'all. Sometimes the smallest of littlest of cracks, you know, can grow all kinds of things. But we don't know. We don't know if it's going to be me yelling today or me being nice today, or, and so we're all going to have slightly different approaches. And so make sure that we don't cut off people on our side because they're too angry or they're not angry enough. That's hard too, y'all. I know I've given you a lot of homework and I'm not really telling you how to get there, but hard work. So sorry.
I love it. Yeah, no, it's good stuff. And we've got lively discussion going on in the chat, which is also great. And so I want to ask a couple of more questions that people are wondering from you. There's some people who are asking things like, you know, well, when people find out I'm an atheist, they say things like, but you're so nice. How could that be? And then another person has similar questions saying like, you know, all of my coworkers just assume that I'm a Christian and they tell me all this, you know, religious and political junk. And like, I don't want to upset everyone, but how do I let them know that I don't agree with this? And what do you respond to that?
Yeah, that is difficult for sure. I can't tell you how many times in my life I have had conversations with people, whether it's on a personal level, whether it's a work thing, whether it's some casual acquaintance that also happens to go to this local restaurant or bar near me kind of regularly, whatever the hell it is. I can't tell you how many times in my life there's been years of talking between us and just this stuff never really came up. And then one day they said something and they were like, oh yeah, man, what church you go to again? And I was like, oh, it's, I don't, I'm an atheist. That in terms of when do you say that, right? Again, I want to point back to the concept of making sure that you and those around you are safe. That is always the most important thing. And then when it comes to what I often describe as the very weird and totally inaccurate and stereotypical things that people will say in those moments to me. Oh my gosh, how are you an atheist? You're so nice. Or like, I thought all atheists were just pissed off all the time. Or I had heard that atheists, you know, are like hardcore anarchist, you know, like totally fucking, you know. Hey, look, yeah, that honestly goes back to that conversation that I had with myself many years ago about why was I getting upset when somebody said to me in a derogatory way, they were trying to offend me. And what they did was they called me gay. Why was I getting so upset by that? And when I really started looking into that, and I recognized that, hey, this, I don't find this to be in the same manner that you do. It would be like as if somebody came up to me and was trying to be derogatory towards me. And they said, you're fucking silly, man. You're so silly. I can't believe it. And they're like really trying to get under my skin. It's like, wait, yeah, I'm okay with that, actually. I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. Oh, okay. And so that kind of self-assurance and self-esteem is really, really helpful. And it's something that for a lot of people in this world, there really just seems to be this total fucking luck of the draw in terms of like whether you had it or not when you were younger. Of course, we do have some more indications lately, I think, that there is something very valuable to the people that are very close to you when you were younger and the positive affirmations that you get from them, both verbal and nonverbal. So there is some really good stuff with that too. Learning to really like who you are is really, really helpful in those moments. And again, I just want to reiterate the unfortunate theme, which is it's going to be a lot of fucking work, y'all. It's going to take some time. It's going to be difficult. It's not super easy. But when you get to a place where, like, I'm especially with my friends, like, I'm definitely known as like the guy that, you know, everybody's still partying and having a good time and all of this stuff, is like where I'm the guy that's like, well, all right, y'all, I'm going home. I'm tired. I want to sleep. And for a while I did, like, it would upset me when they would intentionally kind of dig at me and be like, oh, dude, you know, come on, man, why you fucking leaving? Come on, you can't believe this, man. Come on, you could do, what are you doing, man? You party poop, blah, blah. And then it got to a point where it was like, oh, wait a second. I really like to sleep. I really, really like sleep. It's really nice to me. Yeah, fuck it, guys. Hey, I'm going to go to sleep. And then they're like, oh, I can't believe you do that, man. Why you leave it so early? And I'm like, oh, I just really like my bed. You guys can do whatever the fuck you want. Have a great one. But again, that takes a lot of practice. And it's really, 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 it is so much more difficult to do that when you don't have a community of people around you that also give a shit about you. I truly believe that's one of the most valuable things out there that we can do, which is just give a shit. And that's about us and it's about others. Again, it's tough. It takes a while. But it can be, it gets easier. The first time I had one of those days, I woke up and I felt like shit and I didn't say anything. And I just felt like shit the whole day. And somebody would be like, hey, how's it going? I'd be like, fuck you. That's how it's going. That being said, the first time I reached out and I said, hey, buddy, I'm having one of those days. I just feel bad. I was just wondering if you could chat, man. Nothing major, just like 10 minutes. The next time I did it, it wasn't as tough. And then the next time, and then the next time, and the next time. And it doesn't mean that every single time is going to be exactly the same and I'm always going to make progress, but the day-to-day progress that we make is harder to see than the year-to-year progress, right? And so we have to give a shit about ourselves enough to recognize that it's going to take time. And we didn't just wake up yesterday and like have all this hatred for ourselves, right? Other people brought that toxicity to us a lot of times. There's also just that shitty thing about being a person, how apparently every so often, like your elbow just doesn't work, you know, and your brain has that shit too. And it's super, super vital to talk to people about that and to get the professional help. Again, we truly do a disservice, and 200 years from now, 300 years from now, it will be in second grader textbooks about how ridiculous it was that people used to walk around all the time. Can you believe it? Billions of people used to live on this earth and didn't have access to a therapist. Can you believe it? And all the kids are going to be like, what are you talking about? I'm going to talk to my therapist right now about this. Hey, therapist. Like, it's going to be that fucking accessible and it's going to be that normalized and it's going to be everywhere for us. But in the meantime, I would suggest cool places like this and many others, because that community is going to help with that self-esteem. When other people are just telling you like, hey, you are a good person. Like, you are a cool person and we want you here. When you hear that more and more, you start to say that to yourself more and more. And then you don't get as angry when these other people say, well, you're just stupid or you're ugly or you're, and you just don't, because it's like, wait a second. Bill likes me. Sarah likes me. Oh, Joey, I just met Joey. Hey, that was a great person. Oh my gosh, what about someone? They love me. Hey, you know what? You have a good night, buddy, because I'm gonna go talk to my friends. So again, I think I rambled somewhere in there. I don't know exactly where, but
I think there's an SNL sketch in there somewhere about I'm good yeah. enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me.
I was gonna say though, like you did point out, like knowing your limitations is a strength. Mm-hmm. Like knowing, like when you were talking about, like I just want to go to bed.
Yeah,
that is a great knowing your limitation. I'm like, I don't want to party anymore. I want to go lay in my awesome bed and go to sleep. Which I also love my bed. Mm-hmm. My bed is amazing.
Mm-hmm. I wake up some days and I'm awake for like 30 minutes. No joke, y'all. And I literally am thinking to myself, like, will I be able to go to bed at like 10 o'clock tonight or like 11 or right. Oh, you know what, if I push that to tomorrow, I could probably be in bed by like 7:30. Like, this is nice.
But I do appreciate that, because like, no, I think knowing your limitations is a really good life skill to learn. Like knowing what is okay or not okay for you, because I am still learning what my limitations are at 45 years old. I'm still like, yeah, that's not okay for me. Mm-hmm. And then usually someone in the house has pointed out to me and I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I shouldn't do that. Yeah. That's a good thing. Okay. Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah. Helen, I so agree with you, and I'm not going to assume anyone's age here, but I'm with you, Helen. I'm of a generation where like checking in with yourself and, you know, making sure you're doing okay wasn't necessarily a thing we grew up learning to
that
do.
That was not a life skill. I learned that later after therapy.
Yes. Yeah. And I so appreciate that this is something that we're talking about. Hey, when you're having a conversation, let's check in with ourselves too and make sure yes. we're doing okay. And I know we've been hearing a lot in the chat too from people saying, you know, maybe their threshold for when it's okay to have a conversation is different. And you know, it absolutely may be. And that's, I think that's a good thing that we're talking about and having conversations around. You know, maybe I feel safe having this conversation at this time about these things, and I'm not going to have a conversation if it's, you know, going outside of these boundaries, you know, that I'm setting and things like that.
Yeah. And just real quick, you don't owe other people a justification for that. And 'cause honestly, they don't owe you one, and you're not going to get one half the time, and they're going to walk away and just be like, cause I'm leaving. That's why. Yeah. You get that freaking right too. That was one of the most valuable things I ever learned. Was one day I was sitting with some buddies and a person walked up that we had gone to a school with, and we hadn't seen him in years. They sit down at the table and we're like, well, hey, how's it going? Tell us about your life. What have you been doing? And they proceeded to talk about how they had spent the last weekend in a haunted house with all kinds of gadgets and widgets and so forth. And they were just 20 fucking minutes into this. And I just said to myself,
hey, man, it's Friday at 9:30. I got this much left of my beer. Hey, y'all, I'm going to go home. I'm going to leave. And I did. And I did. I just stood up. I was nice. I wasn't a jerk or anything, but because I realized that I am not obligated to be here. I get to be here because I want to be here. I get to choose that stuff. You don't have to have a whole big discussion about free will, but yeah, when I'm hanging out with people and I'm having a good time, if I stop having a good time, I can just say that and I can just leave. It's okay. It's not going to be a problem, guys, because everybody else does too. Everybody else does that too, right? So why the hell don't I get that right? Again, it's not something you just wake up with and you feel good about that, you know, because it sucks sometimes to like leave the party or the conversation, you know, where everybody has that fear of missing out on stuff. Maybe this will help, maybe not. Just know that at this point in the year 2022 on this big blue marble, you are always missing out there every second, all the time, constantly. You are always missing out on shit. You have no idea whether it's better or worse. And so my suggestion would be, if you find yourself in those places where you're like, man, this sucks, like this SR guy won't shut up, my God, absolutely, y'all, bounce, like go somewhere else. There are lots of other really cool places, right? If on the other hand, you say to yourself, man, it's 1 in the morning and I really should go,
but I'm just having a really, really good time. And this is what I want to do. That's also okay. Just, you know, be responsible and modulate. And if you got to go to fucking work tomorrow, man, just know about that, right? Set that alarm, like get the energy shots or whatever you need. So
we've all done the, like, you know, stayed up too late, go to work the next day, and you know, like the 2 o'clock hour is going to hit and you're going to crash. You're going to be okay in the morning. Then 2 o'clock's going to hit. And it's just like, okay, now we're on the downward spiral, but you accept your choices as an adult and go, I made this choice.
Right. And it was a damn good time.
It was
a
good time.
I'm glad we went to that fourth venue or whatever.
Right. So yeah. I think that's a really, and this leads into like having a conversation, know your limits and choosing when to engage and when not to engage. And if you want to engage, like, do I really want to have this conversation right now? Not really. Or like, okay, I'm willing to put on the debate shoes and dive into this, but like, you're not obligated to like change anybody's mind. You're not obligated to bring them over to your side. That is up to you if you want to choose to do that. And if you choose not to do that, that's okay too. It really is okay, because it's not your job to change everybody's mind.
Yeah. And I want to follow up on that too, because, you know, you go on atheist call-in shows, right? Where the whole point of the show in some cases is for people to call in and disagree with you, sometimes in kind of a hostile way. This can be uncomfortable. So, I mean, I'm kind of wondering, you know, what do you feel like we gain from having those difficult conversations? And so I had a professor one time who talked about that as he called it standing in the fire, where you're there in the midst of the conflict. And so the first part of my question is, what do you feel like we stand to gain from those conversations? And secondly, are there any particular topics and conversations that you feel like you really like to have or you want to have because they are particularly productive in any way?
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the things that's really valuable about being in those really tough conversations, standing in the fire, I love that term, by the way. I think one thing that's really helpful there is that you become stronger. You become better. There is a personal aspect to it that is really, really important. So I have to admit, not complete and total altruism when I do those shows, although I do think there's value for other people to see those conversations as well. And I'll talk about that in a second. But there is something really, really important to me and my understanding of the world. When somebody is able to have a really difficult, let's get to the nitty gritty, let's break this shit down type conversation and really challenge each other, whether it's a bit more heated or a bit more cordial, it doesn't matter, because it really getting a chance to ask myself the questions of why do I think this way? You know, I could be wrong. I could be wrong when I say things like, I don't think people should be treated as less than simply because the color of their skin. I feel pretty fucking confident that I'm right in that conclusion. But maybe I am wrong. It is possible. I'm not perfect. I'm not all knowing, right? And if somebody wants to stand there and try to challenge me on the thought that I have as to like, hey, it's a good thing we don't have slavery as a common practice anymore, that just strengthens my ability to have those conversations later. And maybe the next time that I have the conversation, I'm in such a different setting and with such a different person, and they're using such a different tactic and argument, that I've actually gained so much insight on the last conversation. And I can finally say, oh, well, what about this point? Do you think about that, man? Yeah, I'd never thought of it like that. Or maybe what
it helps strengthen about me is that I can be in those tough situations and know that this isn't something I can't handle, right? This is a moment that I know that I can handle. This is something that I have been through before, and I can be somebody that stands up maybe a little bit stronger in this wind and not get pushed over. And then I think that leads me towards the other aspect of it, which is, I think there is value in seeing other people engage in this stuff. Again, when you see somebody like Anthony Magnabosco have these conversations where somebody is just saying something that, you know, to me is just so freaking off the wall. It just, oh my gosh. It's nonsense, I think. And somehow he can still stand there smiling. And at the end of it all, even though I feel pretty fucking confident that Anthony is in the same boat as me, is like, man, that's some bullshit. The fact that he can end that difficult conversation and still say like, hey, let's come back. Let's do it again. You know, here's my card and call me. And I hope that we can chat in the future and stuff like that. That's really powerful because it says that like, okay, maybe I can do that, you know? Like maybe I can have those conversations. Maybe I don't have to yell all the time. Okay, yeah, maybe I can have people challenge my beliefs like this. And maybe what happens is you're in a space and somebody starts saying something and they're really pushing back on you. And because you've had those conversations before, and you're just out somewhere, you're out at a park, you're at a concert, you're picking up groceries or something, and somebody says something and they say it right to you, and you have this ready to go, just super chill and super empathetic and just instant response because you've been there before. Because you've heard this exact argument. You heard them mention the Kalam cosmological argument 14,000 fucking times. And you know what they're going to say about A theory of time, B theory of time. You know all of that shit. Sometimes it's really important when you're in that moment and you can just confidently respond. Sometimes the person in the next lane hears you, right? And they maybe disagree with you, but it starts that crack. It starts that opportunity for them to really think further about stuff. And we don't know to the entirety and the extent of what all of our actions, you know, the effects that they have on people. And again, for me, so much of my drive when it comes to this type of space really is attempting to live in a world that really is better for everybody. And that's, again, that's complicated. What the fuck does that mean? I think it's clearly obvious that that means that no matter who you love, you should be able to get married to them and you shouldn't, you know, be in jail for that. And you should be allowed to be who the fuck you are. Those types of simple things. I think those are less difficult in the sense of like, yeah, I fully believe that is the thing that I want for this world. And one of the ways that I can get there is by showing that compassion as much as possible, because sometimes the person that I'm talking to is not the person that needed that compassion in that moment. Sometimes it's the person next to it, or sometimes it's the person that they rant about to. 2 weeks later, they go, man, this fucking atheist at Kroger today, can you believe he said this shit to me? And then they say that to a buddy of theirs that is like so hardcore in their same vein. And the buddy kind of just stands there for a second and goes, what did he say? He said, what was his objection? He said, wow. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I need to think about that more.
again, we just don't know the ramifications that our actions are going to have. And I want to try to be somebody that really is putting more of that inclusivity and positivity. And again, just that general give a shit about people. And that is tough. That is tough. Especially when it's people that are a lot easier to write off. I think one of the biggest groups in the United States, for instance, that the vast majority of people have no problem completely and totally dehumanizing is prisoners. Individuals that are convicted of crimes, especially heinous crimes. I agree that somebody who just slaughtered 14 people did bad things. I am not going to stand on the side and try to tell you that that is okay. But I am also not going to stand on the side and try to tell you that it's okay for us to continue to enact that violence and that hatred on this person. They are still human. You don't lose your humanity. And that's hard to show compassion. Again, that even murder isn't as bad. We can all think of some pretty fucking terrible things that we know for a fact people have done. And it's hard in those moments to care about those people. But if we aren't speaking up for people who aren't able to speak up for themselves, how do we get to the world that I want? I don't think there is a way for that. And that's why when I can, I do my best to be an ally for so many different communities. And I'm not perfect. And there have been times where people have straight up said to me, they're like, dude, that wasn't fucking it. That wasn't it. Like, I don't know what you were doing, but you weren't doing a good job there. And in that moment, I go back to kind of something that I started with. Who am I being in this moment that I'm receiving this response? Because if I do want to be an ally, if I want other people to be able to say, look, that Elliot guy, he's in our corner. He's going to fight for us. If that's what I want, then I have to look at myself and ask, why am I getting this criticism? And I need to think about that. And I need to take that in. Again, that kind of goes back to, you know, anger and how do we approach people in that situation and so forth. But yeah, again, I it's tough, y'all. And it's a bummer that it's on us and we're going to have to keep working and it's going to be constant. It's a daily thing. It's a, you know, 10 year, 20 year, 40 year, 150 year, 5,000 year fucking fight. But if I don't at least try, I don't get the world that I want to see, even in my like local setting. Like if I can just make my county a little bit better, that's fucking amazing. If I somehow have the ability to affect change on a broader level, let's do it. But yeah, I think we always need to remember that other people are watching a lot of times, even if it doesn't feel like that's the case. And who we are in those moments and who we are in the moments when we know for a fact nobody else is watching. I'm not perfect. You know, I know.
You're not?
Yeah. Surprising. Surprise. Yeah.
Damn it, Elliot. You've been hiding on me, man. I thought you were so perfect. Now I got to lower my fucking standards.
But it's in those moments where I know that I have the opportunity to just kind of not be as compassionate with people, to just not be that model that I really do want to see. I know that I can get away with not doing it, right? That's when I really need to focus on trying to do it, because there are other people out there that are also in that same place and they're not making the same decisions. And that's why we have more shit in the world, is because we aren't choosing those decisions for ourselves a lot of times. And other people are doing that too. So again, it's It is difficult. It is tough. It is slow progress that will get you there. But if you really try and you really focus on it, you can make progress in the long term. So it doesn't feel like that right now, for sure, in the United States. Really, really fucking feels like we have lost pretty hard. Yeah. So, but you know, there are ways and methods. I know this is a nonprofit organization, so I'm not going to give a call to action of any kind. But at the same time, on a personal level, I am a big fan of voting.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate that. And I think you said it very well. And I really appreciate just what you've brought with your tips and ideas and just, you know, what you're doing in your little corner of the world to try and make it a better place. So thank you for that and sharing that with us. And we are just about out of time. Actually, we need to wrap up and then we'll move into the social hangout. Are you going to be able to stay at all four questions during the social hangout, do you think?
I will probably be able to stay for a little bit, but I am supposed to be hopping on with some people here not too long and doing a little chat with them, but I will try and see if maybe push it back by 10 or 15. So I'm going to work on that. And I love being here and I'm just so thrilled that I got to hang out with you all. So,
well, we are thrilled as well. And thank you so much, and stay as short or as long as you like. Just before we wrap up, is there any place that people can go to reach you to see what you're currently doing or working on? Do you have any links you would like us to share? If so, feel free to drop them in the chat.
I was going to say, so I mostly am just affectionately known as a stream hobo, meaning I just kind of do stuff like this where other people already have something really cool that they have built in a wonderful community of people. And they are so gracious to let me come on and take some time and just bullshit. But I did just post in the chat my link tree. It has all my things, the Facebook, the TikTok, the Twitch, the YouTubes, the Twitters, the whatevers. Anybody is more than welcome to reach out to me. I know I look very young. I promise I am a very incapable, not really tech savvy old man on the inside. I am kind of a curmudgeon and I often yell at kids about my lawn. But with all that being said, if you do reach out to me or anything on that, don't be upset if I don't respond right away, because I'm terrible at it. But mostly I just say things like, hey, I'm going to be hanging out with RFRX. So that's it. Awesome.
Well, we are so glad you did. And thank you so much for coming and spending this time with us. And we are all the better for it.
Recovering from Religion is a nonprofit organization whose mission it is to provide hope, healing, and support to those struggling with issues of doubt and non-belief. Hope, Healing, and Support is waiting for you on our website, recoveringfromreligion.org. There you can speak or chat with a trained agent who will work with you through your struggles and doubts, or to help find resources that may work for you. You can also find local Recovering from Religion support groups in your area for the long-term recovery work. Resources specifically curated for those struggling with doubts, disbelief, and trauma can also be found on the RFR website. To connect with a secular therapist in your area, go to seculartherapy.org and create an account. If you'd like to support the work that RFR does, you can donate or sign up as a volunteer on the Recovering from Religion website. It's also a big help subscribing to the RFR YouTube channel, our blog, or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Questions, comments, and suggestions can be emailed to us at rfrx@recoveringfromreligion.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you'll be with us next time on the Recovering from Religion podcast.